Hey, fans out there, this is Coach EJ, the brand.
And Coach Aaron, the source. Today's topic, guys, home training. What personal qualities can you develop in your athlete that will lead to athletic success? Now, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen lots of different athletes, lots of different abilities, lots of, different personal quirks and qualities. And I'm always asked by the parents, you know, what can I do to get my athlete better? And I'm sure, EJ, you hear the same thing. And everyone's always focused on the physical part of that. And as a former athlete and a coach, I kind of want you guys to look at the other side of the coin. And what I'm talking about is, what are the personal qualities that you need to help your athlete develop just as a person that are going to translate into athletic success and even beyond that, other success? So I've kind of got five key ones, and I'm sure EJ, you'll probably come up with a couple as well. But one of the first I like to talk about is organizational skills. Your athlete needs to know how to organize their life. If an athlete can't juggle school, work, chores, other activities, practices, workouts, and they don't have the discipline to structure their life and do those things, they're not going to be able to do it as an athlete as well. And their athletic endeavors are going to suffer. So you want to help your athlete, one, learn how to multitask, two, prioritize, and three, organize their life.
Solid right there, Aaron. Those are qualities that all us coaches like to hear, because whatever sport you're in, you know, the sport's a small microcosm of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So those organization skills are important to any coach at any level. Because if that player is organized, they're going to be organized when that physical aspect of playing the game or match or whatever, or meet, track meet, or race they're doing, they're going to be a better athlete because of that. So I like your first one's great. I love that.
My second one, preparation skills. You know, preparation requires forethought. So that provides the opportunity for the athlete to be proactive rather than reactive to what's going on in their athletic life. And when they can prepare, it calls for the mental ability to be able to analyze your strengths and weaknesses, analyze the situation. Hey, how much time do I have? You know, what resources do I have? And it allows you to be more strategic in how you use your resources. And parents, what it also does, it makes the athlete actively involved in their athletic life and their success. You want to help your athlete learn how to prepare. And again, preparing is not just writing things down on a piece of paper, but basically going through, you know, the mental exercises of, hey, if I do A, then can I do B? Or if I do A, you know, this will translate into this for me. So I think taking the time to prepare and looking globally at all everything that you have to do, and then paring down from that is a good skill to have, because again, it helps lead back into your organization. Preparing also leads into time management, because now you're giving yourself time to do the things that you need to do. You're finding out if you have enough time, and it also helps with prioritizing.
I like that. And I'll tell you why I like that, Aaron. Is one, by being prepared, it allows you to grow and understand what you're doing. And then the second thing, it allows you to adjust your plans, your preparation to make you successful. That says it right there.
Excellent. Number three, consistency. You got to be consistent with your attendance, your work ethic, your technique, all of those ingrain and lead to habits, and they lead to good habits that lead to good performance. Again, the athlete becomes more engaged as well, because now with consistency, you've basically made a commitment. And you know, that's a big thing for me, is most of the athletes that I've ever seen that have been successful are those who have been committed. Because when you're committed, you're consistent. You're consistent to doing everything that you need to do on a regular basis. All of that builds up to the proper athletic performance you're looking for. And, you know, again, parents, keep these athletes consistent, whether it's, you know, helping them build a schedule, which goes back to preparation, holding them accountable when they're not consistent, calling them out on it, because sometimes these young athletes don't really know when they're kind of flaking out on something. You know, it's really easy to kind of talk yourself into, well, no, I didn't do it at 3 o'clock, but I'm going to do it at, you know, 6 o'clock. And then that workout at 6 o'clock or that activity at 6 o'clock isn't of the quality that it would have been at 3 o'clock. So you kind of need to point those things out to them and say, hey, look, you know what? You're better at doing this at this time or on these days because it's easier to fit in. And so, you know, helping them recognize the power of consistency, I think is very important.
You know, parents out there, I call it this, the oil change effect. Get the tune up. If you want your car to really perform at its best, you need to be consistent in your tune-ups and your oil changes. You want that car to be good, be consistent with it. And that's what Coach Aaron's saying here. You know, consistency, it's an oil change effect. Be consistent with your tune-ups. Right. Love it.
Number four is listening. If an athlete doesn't have the proper listening skills, they cannot benefit from the knowledge of their instructors and coaches. I mean, more so than physical development, training really is the information, you know me, training is the transfer of information. And if you're not listening, how are you going to receive the information that your coach or your trainer is trying to impart on you? You're not. So being able to help your kid learn how to listen, learn how to focus, learn how to ask questions and be an active participant in the exchange of information, I think is very important. One of the things, I don't know what it is nowadays, maybe it's Aaron getting to the get off my grass syndrome, I'm just getting old and cranky, but a lot of kids these days don't listen well. I find myself repeating myself all the time. I actually repeat myself now just by habit, just because I know kids don't seem to get it the first time around. And
amen.
And part of it has to do with how they listen. Teach your kid how to listen. Because a lot of times we'll say, hey, listen up, or you're not listening. You know what? I'm finding that kids don't know how to listen. And part of that has to do with their physical engagement in you. So if a kid is not looking you directly in the eye, you know, or they're distracted by something else, or they're interrupting you, they're not listening. And those are cues and those are signs, parents, that your kid does not have the proper listening skills. And you want to correct them. I find myself doing that a lot as well. You know, you want to give a kid instruction and they're looking over their shoulder or they turn their back and are walking away. It's like, no, I'm trying to help you here. Look me in the eye, see the words that are coming out of my mouth. You know, and, you know, wait, slow down. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's easy for all of us to kind of get trapped in our own heads. But, you know, parents, you got to teach your kids how to listen. And it is a skill. Believe me, I see it on a daily basis.
It makes two of us, Darren. I mean, I always say it's hearing versus listening.
Right.
Or always call it yes coach syndrome. Yes, coach. And they just, you say something and you haven't finished and they go, yes, coach.
Yes.
And I'm like, did you listen to what I just said?
Right.
You know, it's a yes, coach, because that's what they're conditioned to say at home. You tell your coach, yes, coach, all the time. You say, yes, sir, all the time. You say, yes, ma'am, or yeah, exactly. You know, there's no interaction. The social skills of actually having a conversation with the coach and saying, coach, I understand what you're saying. Or I always say, Aaron, okay, what did I just tell you?
Right.
What did you hear? What did you hear in the comments I said? And sometimes the kids don't really, or the athlete doesn't really hear what you want them to hear.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I see it all the time, especially with football players, because the nature in that sport is, yes, coach, yes, coach, yes, sir. You know, that's drilled into them. And I get it. I you know, when they do it to me, hey, I get it. I appreciate the respect, but I need you to listen. You know, I understand that, you know, hey, there's some mutual respect here. Yes, coach doesn't necessarily, you know, mean much to me. Right. All it's telling me is that you're probably not listening, and it ends up being, can I appease the coach? And it gives the impression that you're listening, but really you're not. Because you can yes coach me to death, and if you still don't do what I've asked you to do, then it doesn't matter. So a lot of those kids, when they come in with that, I say, hey, look, no, we don't yes coach in here. Look me in the eye, listen. If you have a question, ask a question. I may ask you to repeat it back to me. And that's how I prefer to communicate.
That's so powerful, Aaron, because that is something that is missing in this day and age in training and development from top at the highest level, professional athletes, all the way down to when we start them when they're young. So, yeah.
Oh, no, they're conditioned to just do that.
Yeah.
You know? Or you get the kids who, I know.
Hey, Aaron, I know.
I know you're not listening. Number five, coachability. And this is a broad term. And it's your ability to interact with those providing instruction, but besides taking direction, but accepting constructive criticism and having the observational skills to learn from the instruction that's happening to other people around you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is most of the athletes are on teams. Okay. And so if a coach is interacting with one athlete, it doesn't mean that the information that coach is imparting to that other athlete isn't important to you. And so I like for my athletes to be listening to all the conversations that are going on out in the field, because they might get that gem that helps them become better, even though that information was given to a teammate.
Right.
And it also keeps them, one, current in the moment, so that they know what's going on, you know?
Yes, sir.
and they're not, hey, coach, what are we doing next? Well, hold it. I just explained it to Johnny over here. You know? So I think that learning is not just that one-to-one interaction between the coach and the athlete. It's also by osmosis of what's happening in the environment of the group as a whole.
The best players I have ever interacted and had the pleasure to coach with picked up on cues that I was telling someone else at a different time, and they said, I remember you saying that to them, and I took advantage of that instruction to help me perform better. And that's a pleasure to coach.
Yeah.
As a coach, you love to hear that, because the player is actually paying attention to something that has worth that could help them at some time, and you never know when that time is. So the coachability is, you know, I hear people say coach them up. I'm like, there's no such thing as coaching them up. Coaching is coaching. Coaching is the ability to impart information to players and have the players respond to that information to the best of their knowledge and take that information and use it to be successful in whatever they try to do.
Great way to end it. Great way. I love the way you said that. So Those are just five personal qualities, guys. I call it home training. All that starts at home. You want your athlete to be better? This is definitely the way to do it.
Great. Great work right there, Aaron. Hey, this is Coach DJ signing off.
And Coach Aaron, see you later.